Slam with Rowdy Alternative. Today we have Grayson Russell and Zach Gordon on. How are you boys doing?
Doing well, man.
Doing amazing, and love to be reunited with Gray and obviously make a new friend. So what more can you ask for?
Right on. I love it. So I guess we'll just dive into each of you could take turns here. Just what you guys have been up to. I know me and you, Grayson, have been talking for a little bit, but just to catch up with you guys, see what you guys have been up to, whether it's music or film, whatever it is. So Zach, if you want to kick it off.
Sure. No pressure. So acting music has been super fruitful for me. I'm very grateful. And I guess not to immediately segue into maybe a big reason why Gray and I are both here is because we dropped a song together. It's a cover of Atlantic City. And I have to take responsibility in the fact that this wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Grayson. So basically taking responsibility for being on the side, because Grayson gets stuff done. He makes stuff happen. He and I have had a couple of shows together in the past, and he reached out and said, you know, that song we've been covering that the crowd seems to just love every time we rip it, why don't we actually get a real recording of this? I'm like, well, that would be a great idea, but I don't know. Our schedules are busy. You know, the guys that are in his band are super busy. How are we going to wrangle everyone up? And he did it, as he always does. And I'm very proud of it. And again, another reason why we're here is because of him and you taking the time. And so in terms of music, excited to be here and excited to finally have a song out with the legend himself, outside of, you know, whatever collaborations we've done in the past, cough, cough, Wimpy Kid. And so music has been great in that front. I have my own music I'm releasing soon over the next couple of weeks, months. And speaking of filming as well, I have a movie that's been making festival rounds where I play a guitar player. It's called Max Dagan. And essentially the plot is my father's incarcerated for murdering somebody. Sounds pretty heavy, sounds pretty deep. He says he never did it. But so many years have passed. I grew up without a father, and now it's up to me to convince the daughter of the man he supposedly killed to agree to let him out on a compassionate release, because if it wasn't sad enough, he has cancer. So basically, a lot of interesting things going on there, combining music with maybe some more of a dramatic shift in my acting career. And so we got the song, we got my own music, we got that film. And hopefully Grayson and I, not sure if I can talk about it, but hopefully him and I will be also collaborating something film related in the near future, film, TV. So I'm excited for that. And everything's great. And I'm sure Grayson will have nothing but more positive things to add to his journey as well.
Yep. How about you, Grayson? What you got going on?
Dude, all kinds of mess. We dropped Atlantic City, and then I've got one coming out Friday. So Valentine's Day. It's called Go Cry Somewhere Else, which is really fun. It's the closest that I'll probably ever come to doing Here's a Quarter by Travis Tritt. That's probably as close as I'll get. And then I hop back on season two of the TV show that I'm on called Blue Ridge. Do that till April, and then we're prepping a tour that'll probably run, you know, loosely till about September or October. And then by then, I'll probably have something else to do. We'll have a live album, actually, that Zach sang on too, that'll probably be coming out around then. If it ain't one thing, it's another, but it's all the things that I've, you know, worked for and asked for. So I can't complain at all, man.
For sure. Yeah, live album would be fantastic. Live albums are going on a run right now. Like, I feel like you're either a big fan of live albums or you don't like them at all. So it's cool to kind of see like a lot of younger acts and like in Nashville and Texas everywhere. I feel like they're really jumping into that space. Is that like, was that something you've always wanted to do, or like, was that just something that popped up?
Yeah. If I had it my way, I would only do live records, but that's partly because, you know, I've worked so hard to be to be considered legitimate as a, you know, as a performer and not, you know, not just on film. I feel like I had a lot to prove coming into there. So we've got a pretty good, record of we try to multi-track just about every live show that we play. We don't get to all the time, but when we do that, we'll bounce out the stems and kind of see what everybody sounded like. And you really know who messed up when you have, you know, each little, you know, track you can run through. And we just decided we're playing, you know, the Sky Deck, which is one of the one of the bigger venues on Broadway outside of probably Chiefs and the Ryman. And we had a pretty good setup, so we tracked it, and it turned out really well. So I haven't started mixing it yet. Probably will around June. But I love to do it that way. Like if I could, you know, obviously you've got to introduce everybody to the, you know, to the songs themselves for the live record to, you know, have any kind of oomph to it. But if I had my way, that's how I would do it. Cause I feel like I'd do better live anyway. Not that I can't do it in a can, but I like playing live.
Yeah. Yeah. None like the live sound, but, let's dive into Atlantic City more because I got to say, at least from my point of view, first off, I love that song. Always have loved that song. So it was a real treat that, to hear you guys, doing your rendition of it. And, for me, just my opinion on it, and this is something we were talking about too, Grayson, about how Zach, your sound is different than Grayson's, I think. Like what, like the vocally, it's different kind of style, I think. So that's what made it so interesting, because you could cover a song, like any artist could cover a song, but the key to it is making it theirs and making it stand out. And I think that cool dynamic of both of your guys's style really made it what it is. So Zach, I guess, or both of you, just what made it happen? What inspired you guys to choose this song in particular, and how'd that whole process go?
I'll take the top end of it, Zach, and then I'll flip it over. There's some stuff I haven't even told Zach. The record will be called, it's called Living and Women Volume 1. And it's mainly because whenever all my guys would get together and pray before a show, you know, like what you got going on, they'd be like, oh, Living and Women, that'll cover it. And the first girl I really dated in college, I knew like I got to break up with her, and it was just like, all right, this is going to suck. And I was in a coffee shop in Georgia, and this song came on that I had kind of heard before but had forgot about, and it was the band's cover of Atlantic City, this kind of bluegrassy thing. And I'm sitting there knowing that I got to break up with this woman, and then Everything Dies, Baby, That's a Fact goes on, and I'm like, oh, crap. And so that stuck with me for a while, and probably that would have been about like April. And I want to say Zach came in like the fall to Tennessee, and we first started kind of, or it might've been that summer, cause it was Bonnaroo. So it would have only been a couple months later. And that song was still kind of on my mind from that previous relationship. And then once, you know, me and Zach really kind of rekindled ours 15 years removed from Wimpy Kid, here we are, Everything Dies, Baby, That's a Fact, but maybe everything that dies someday comes back. And so it means a whole bunch of different things to me. My guitar player, Nick Tomasello, was like, man, is that song about reincarnation? And I'm like, I think it's about gang wars in New Jersey, but it means so many different things to so many people. But that's how we kind of got on a track to do it. And Zach, you can have at it.
You know, one thing I love about Grayson and what I've learned about him as we've gotten older and changed so many times is when he feels strongly about something or someone or really just doing something, nothing gets in his way. And I'll give you an example. To tag on to what Grayson was saying, we've had a couple of shows in Tennessee because of Grayson, because of his band naturally being most of them from there. And that's where Grayson went to school, hence college. And I always wanted to stick to what was comfortable, meaning songs I had known, songs that maybe I had known parts of. And what I love about Grayson is he'll test me. He'll introduce me to something I would have never heard before. And Atlantic City being one of those songs. And not that I was hesitant to learn it, but you mentioned earlier, Sam, that I have a different style than what Grayson's style is. And that doesn't mean that his is more in alignment with something like Atlantic City, but we clearly don't come from different worlds. And so I should say that one thing is he was set about getting a song like this done, us working together on it, combining our passion for music, and he did it. He set a date. He helped me find the lyrics. He sent me the versions of the songs to practice. And so again, not to just continue to toot his own horn, but he's the reason that this song is out. And so I really have to thank him for allowing me to explore a different side of music that I normally would have never, one, gotten the chance to and been motivated to explore. And I think it only strengthened me as a songwriter, as a, I mean, then again, we're talking about what does the song really mean, right? Is it about reincarnation? Is it about things dying, you know? And even while Grayson was so eloquently explaining his story about, you know, feeling the need to break up with somebody and not feeling too great about it. But, you know, this, I love this rendition of the idea that, like, we don't even know if it's a happy song, if it's a sad song. And I feel like this is one of the very few tracks that could be anything, because I was even thinking while he was talking was, you know, put your makeup on, fix your hair up, pretty, meet me tonight in Atlantic City is like, let's just live our life to the absolute fullest because we're going to die anyway. And maybe we'll meet again. Maybe we won't. So let's just go for it. And I think I'm just finding more reasons to appreciate the song rather than just the fact that Grayson brought it to me. And he obviously heard the band's rendition of it. And I what I'm saying full circle is that this song is special for a lot of reasons. And I don't think there's that many songs, at least to my knowledge, that can mean so many different things to so many people, but still, for whatever reason, be grounded in this like authenticity and this basically what I'm saying is it's great. And I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to work on it with Gray, and I'm grateful that people can now hear it. And it really is, it's been a labor of love, and it's all because of him, which is something that I appreciate and admire about him, is, you know, he gets things done. And maybe that's what Atlantic City is about, is let's get her done.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, long short.
Yeah, for sure. And it what does make it special, I think, is that it's you two. It's not Grayson with another guy singing or you with another guy singing. Like, it is you two doing it together. And obviously, your guys' relationship going back to Wimpy Kid days and everything, like, it's great to see. And when I first got in contact with Grayson, it was actually pretty funny. The dots didn't connect that he was Fregley or Texas Ranger until afterwards. Like, I got to talking to him where I'm like, wait a minute, like, I know that. And so it's really cool to look back, especially now, to see that you two are still, first off, friends, but also even more importantly is that you guys can create together still. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that really shows how your guys' relationship is. And I guess I was going to ask is, like, has it always been this strong, like, since you guys first met on the set or whenever that was, all those years ago? Like, has it continued to be this strong? When did the creative elements come in musically? Like, when did that all kind of start to spawn up?
Well, over Wimpy Kid, me and Zach butted heads a lot, but that's just because it's you're 12 years old and I'm in one part of the world and he's in the other, you know, and just trying to make it work. Like, that's just natural. And it wasn't really, probably until COVID, I think I started to write and Zach started to learn to play, because music wasn't really something that, you know, that had always been on my radar. But then once Zach started to flick into it, we didn't get, you know, back close because of music. It all ended up kind of naturally happening at the same time, because I had gone through the breakup that, you know, came with Atlantic City. And then he happened to be in at Bonnaroo down here a month later, having just gone through a breakup all at the same time. So it was all the good Lord, just, you know, God's time is perfect. But we've gotten really tight, I'd say, probably over the past 4 years, three, 4 years, certainly the past two. But, you know, looking back, I never would have guessed that I would have been doing music with anybody from Wimpy Kid.
Yeah.
But certainly not Zach, because, you know, I've always thought of Zach as, you know, Zach is the, like, he's the voice. Like, when you need something done, you get Zach to do it on the voiceover side of the world. And then, you know, on live action as well. But we butted heads for a while just because we were kids. But I think the creative aspect came once we rekindled our relationship. And I think that's an important part of anything, is you can't just, you know, you got to believe that the other person, especially when you're making music and that is going to outlive you, you know, and him trusting me, he had to know that I had his best interest at heart.
Yeah.
Vocally, sonically, you know, even in the edits that I cut together, not making mm-hmm. him look like an idiot because he made a weird face or because I made a weird face. You got to be able to trust the person that you're doing with, no different than I've got to be able to trust that my band's going to hit all the right stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was very easy, you know, all things considered, Zach, you know, finding his sound, figuring out how he wants to do things, then me figuring out, you know, how to work around that, being as you know, strong-willed as I am with my own stuff. And so it's really taught me how to better work with other artists. But the big thing was it was a pretty easy switch once, you know, our relationship was solid. And I think that was the most important part. I mean, the music doesn't matter to me at all if we didn't have mm-hmm. if we didn't have a relationship that we do. Sorry, that was a long way around it, Zach. You can have it from there.
I this is basically just going to be me complimenting Grayson the whole interview. And
well,
I don't know if it's
us a couple of times and just even it out.
Well, it's interesting. You said
I cussed at you enough. This all the time.
Well, I'll tell you something, Sam.
It ain't like we didn't want to kill each other. Also,
there is a through line to that. Like, there's not a lot of people that I can butt heads with, and still want to just hug and say I love and appreciate you. I'm realizing this as I'm talking about it, because I don't know if it's in a Los Angeles, California child actor hustle culture, but I'm not as present as I'd like to be. I'm always focusing on where I want to be, where I want to go, and this interview is actually having me reflect in real time on a lot of the things that Grayson and I have done together and how we've helped each other grow. I'd like to think mutually. But ultimately, a lot of my side is thinking about how really he has helped me grow. And man, it's weird. I'm getting emotional right now. Not weird in the sense that it's weird to be emotional, but not having the time to mentally reflect on how grateful I am to have him in my life. I think, like he was saying, COVID brought us closer. We would catch up and talk about the state of the world, and our point of views weren't too far off, but then again, I'm in a totally different side of the world, different culture. Things are crazy, but it was like we had the time to find what it was that we wanted from the world. And COVID wasn't a blessing holistically, but I think for those of us being young, early, mid-20s, artists struggling to really figure out, okay, well, I'm not acting right now. I'm not doing what I thought I was always going to do, and everyone is in the same boat. So what can I do to make good use of this time? At least that was a part of where my head was at. And so naturally, when we came out of COVID and Grayson and I, for whatever reason, genuinely are on similar trajectories. What I mean by that is I go through a breakup, he goes through one.
It's about 2 weeks ahead.
Yeah. Like every time.
It's like, well, two or three relationships. Something goes down with him, and then I'm like, oh, crap.
You were first. You were first because
yeah.
When he picked me up from Bonnaroo, music and I'd been developing the skills, and I was so lost, Sam. Like I was in a horrible place mentally, but that's just because I couldn't fathom the reality of the situation, which was I probably wasn't the best partner. Neither was the person I was with, but I have a tendency to internalize everything and blame myself and beat myself up. I don't know why, but maybe it makes me a good artist sometimes. Anyway, what I will say is those are the times that can bring you closer to people. And especially if you're willing to be brave enough to share those moments, talk about them, and hopefully the people you share them with reciprocate or just are willing to listen and give guidance, advice. And Grayson was that for me. He was a pillar, and even just exploring music, I never thought it was actually going to be a real career path for me because I've always done acting. Music was something that I took more seriously during COVID. And just to go back again before I go off on a tangent of what your question was, music brought us closer, but I think it was a culmination of a lot of things. The foundation of Wimpy Kid was already there. So we had that mutual understanding of how many people can say they lived a shared mutual experience like that. Not many. And then coming together, realizing, oh, we also know what it feels like to have a heart broken. We also take singing very seriously, take guitar playing very seriously, and just being artists. And I think maturity-wise, whether that was growing up as a child actor, and I'd like to say we're both pretty mature for our age, if I could say that humbly, we were able to understand each other. When we speak about things, whether that's a heartbreak, I think knowing that you do have to take responsibility for certain things is a more mature approach. And then finding an outlet to do that, that ideally isn't alcohol or drugs or vices. And that doesn't mean that we're not, you know, perfect. But I think it was a combination of all those things. And then again, every time there was an opportunity to grow as an artist, Grayson was always there pushing me. Whether that was performing at Inman Coffee, RIP, I will miss that place. But you know, every time there was an opportunity to go perform live, Grayson threw me in there. And granted, I could also hopefully help and elevate and market the show. So, you know, there were ways where we both benefited from just being around each other, whether that was growing as an artist, growing as an individual, being a good friend, and then ultimately bringing our creative skill sets together and then sharing that with hopefully a bunch of people that wanted to experience it with us, who were either fans of Wimpy Kid or just music in general, or Grayson's band, Grayson's friends, who were all incredible, incredible people. And I've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of incredible people because of Grayson that have helped also elevate me as an artist. And so, and to also know that the culture of this rat race, which I feel like is instilled in Los Angeles, where you're not ever content unless you're constantly striving for the next goal. And so many people have to soak up the marrow of what Los Angeles is. And a lot of that is a negative, not because we all can't succeed together, but I think a lot of the culture, this is just an opinion, is do whatever it takes, even if that means potentially hurting others. Mm-hmm. To get what you want. And so I think spending time with Grayson, meeting all these incredible and talented musicians, his band, who have all become good friends of mine, and then also feeling like I'm not alone in the sense of trying to make it as an artist, trying to transition as a child actor into music, is just collectively are all these little pockets of why I appreciate Grayson. And the last thing I wanted to say, last thing, I know I've been talking for a minute, the patience that this man has, you know, and speaking of coming out for Atlantic City, the weekend I was supposed to come out, I'm in the middle of like a lot of emotional life stuff, trying to change representation for music, for acting, trying to figure out filming schedules, whatever. I wasn't in a great place and I got sick because of it. Mm. And when you have to record a song, when you're coughing, hacking, you're stuffy, got a horrible flu fever. I'm on the plane and God bless this man. I'm supposed to be recording this track and we have 2 days and I gave him 2 days and I had to almost cancel me performing on that show that he included me on at the Sky Deck because I had one of the worst fever flus. I mean, it was insane. It was hilarious. In hindsight, not in the moment. But he was patient. He asked me if I needed anything. He said, look, like, let's try and get this done. And I would have just been like, oh, well, we can't do it. But you know what? We did it. Can you tell I'm sick on the record? You have no freaking idea. Yeah. You don't know a damn thing. I also, for whatever reason, because I attracted this into my life, squirted hand sanitizer in my eyeball at the recording studio, which, by the way, we had to go to the hospital ER after we recorded the track. I burnt the white part of my eye. Oh. So yes, this was all painful, but you know what I also learned? I could get it done even mm-hmm. through all of that. And that's not to say that we needed to. I think it was an obligation. I had to do it even if I complained about it, rightfully so. But Grayson's patience, he must have been like, gosh, we get this kid out here. We plan the schedule around it. We have the band. And he has a fever, a flu, he squirts hand sanitizer in his eye, and I need to finish the song. I have 1 day to do it. So God bless this man. I'm sure, speaking of butting heads, I'm sure we were freaking at it. But I'll tell you what, man, like, I think I like to think there's just such a mutual respect and an understanding that I'm not going to be perfect a lot of times. I don't claim to be. I know Grayson doesn't either, but I think I've learned a lot just by experiencing things that may be considered setbacks, but in hindsight have been opportunities to show me that I can transcend anything, especially when I'm around good people, people that are talented, that work hard, but also remind me that, you know, we got a job to do. We got a job to do. And so even if it does feel like a job, look at the beautiful piece of art that now is going to hopefully exist forever. So I just thought that was a little funny story because you wouldn't even know all those things were happening.
Yeah.
And I might have not continued with the recording. I think Grayson was like, look, we got to get this done, man. Just do your best. And you need a break. He let me take breaks when I needed to. And sure, I wasn't in the best headspace, but thank God I pushed through. If I hadn't pushed through, I'd feel like absolute shit about myself. Mm-hmm. And I pushed through because of this man right here, you know? So a lot of reasons to be grateful for, you know, all of us talking here, sitting here, and Grayson just having patience and reminding me to always just keep going, work hard, you know?
Yeah. And it's all in the resilience that goes with anything, you know, like resilience and keeping at it. And like you said it perfectly, if you hadn't have done it, then you would have looked back just disappointed at it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's a lot of truth to that. And I'm also curious when it comes to, I guess, the hustle, you could say, or the, I guess, like the industry aspect of it, comparatively from the film to the music industry, is there any main differences, whether good or bad, for either one that you had to adjust to, like in the, when you like pursued more of a music road, you know what I mean?
Gray, you want to take the top of that one?
No. I mean, you can have it if you want. I come at it from a different angle, but if you want it, go for it.
You just mean in the sense of possibly difficulty.
Yeah. Like adjusting, I guess.
For whatever reason, the training that I've had as an actor, and maybe I should say, we all have talents. I think we all have gifts, and those gifts have taken me to a certain extent. I think Wimpy Kid, there were a lot of natural talents I had. Some people thought I was an adult at age 10. I was good with memorizing lines. I wasn't afraid of being in front of the camera. I liked attention. As I got older, that shifted as society crept in. But ultimately, the point was I had to decide at one point or another if acting is something I want to do. Well, I got to take it seriously. Talent will take you so far. And I need to study. I need to get better at my craft and decide if this is really what I want to do. So in terms of music, a lot of the training I've had as an actor has tremendously helped me as a musician. Speaking of having, I'd like to say, a talent, I can come up with melodies like riding a bike.
Let me interject in this part. Zach has a God-given gift to, you can put him in a studio and you give him about a half an hour and he'll come out with something worth doing. And then we'll be able to run with it and cut it and then live with it. And it'll be pretty friggin' good. And I do not have that. I'll have something that'll come to me and then I will have to, you know, whenever I decide to figure it out, I'll have to go and take, it might be 15 minutes, it might be 3 days, and I'll figure it out. And then I'll have to take it to my band and then we'll bounce it around and then I'll go back and there'll be 5 or 6 different literal versions of what's going on. And then we'll play it 3 or 4 times live and then we'll cut it and it'll be fine. But it's arguably just as fine as Zach coming in and going, hey, Luke, play, and then Luke plays it, and then it's just, my God. And then I'm like, well, crap. And I love it, and I respect the world of it, because it's, I don't know if that's me being type A, like everything has to, and it could be that I just have a longer list of boxes to check that really hems me in. But I've always respected that, because I can't do it. Maybe I can at some point, but and you know, maybe I'll develop it. But I mean, I remember we worked on a song for a while that Zach wrote the night before, like came down mm-hmm. to cut a song. No, we're going to do something different. Writes it the night before and then finishes the second verse, like sitting there cutting vocal. Dude, I'm nervous as a, I would be a wreck trying to do that. And then he does it again, like, I don't know, probably a year later we come in. Different, like there's a demo for, we know the direction, I've got my guys in, they all know what we're playing, and then no, he writes that one, the whole one, in the studio with me and Luke with the freaking ukulele, and it's like
the song Waste My Time. Waste I have time. Out I yeah. I we did that in a day, and I came yeah. to cut another song, and
it didn't exist 2 hours before we got into the studio to do a different song, and I'm like, my god.
But what I will say is it's a testament to being in a room with people that can help with the things that might not come so naturally to me. Mm-hmm. So when I'm in a room with someone like Grayson and Luke Mercer, who's the producer of that song, Waste My Time, and hopefully a couple more that I'll be releasing in the future, who Grayson, by the way, introduced me to. And so Grayson's great at taking the notes that I have and communicating them to somebody in a way that they'll understand. Mm-hmm. And I try, and it's not that I'm not getting better at that, but I think Grayson is musically gifted in the sense that I'll give you an example. I mean, the band that he has, he's playing in the middle of singing, directing them. We're talking everything from music theory to hearing their parts while he's singing, telling them, it's like being a conductor. I mean, it is. That's yeah. why he's the leader of the band, and that's why they all trust and respect him. People can rely on Grayson, and I think that's what he does so beautifully, which, if I may interject and say, one of the things I appreciate about having Grayson around, and when I say we all have talents, right, that's something that I really, really am trying to cultivate and get better at. But again, it's being in a room that I feel safe in, and mm-hmm. it's knowing that I won't be judged for trusting whatever the universe just like wants me to talk about, transports into my creative brain and trying not to judge it. And I think going back to your question earlier is I feel like the acting training that I've had, I've always had a gift, right? In the sense that if I wanted to work on it, it's up to me to make it a real skill. Mm-hmm. Otherwise it'll just kind of die and sit where it is in the corner. But you know, if I'm good with melodies, it's learning how to trust them. It's learning how to put myself in rooms with people that can explain to other people what it is that I'm feeling, what I'm saying. Well, maybe I have to learn music theory. Maybe I have to sit down, study, and maybe I need to really get a lot better at guitar so then I can also commit. You know, all these things that, like, you got a gift. We all have gifts, but then it's up to us to really cultivate them, work on them, fine tune them. And man, I say if Grayson and I were one person combined together, I feel like we would just, between his resilience and his talent and his ability to communicate and lead, and I'd like to think my melodies and desire to talk about certain experiences and translate those into melodies and lyrics and songs, I feel like, I mean, which is great, Grayson's great at too, by the way. Feel like we would dominate. So
yeah, I gotta say, going off what Zach said about the way you conduct the band and everything. When I saw Grayson live at the Riley's Duck Blind for our Rowdy Alternative Takeover night, and I was legitimately like floored. Like you talk about taking over a room, like everyone eyes glued to you guys, Grayson. It was insane. It was insane.
The Duck Blind show was cool, and like we were talking earlier before Zach hop on, you know, the things that mean something to me are almost always opposite of what everybody thinks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they will be. And for me, you know, okay, we're playing 9/11, so there's a relative reverence there. It's Nashville, so I'm figuring there's five bands playing. Three of them are – sorry, I've got a phone call coming through. Three of them are going to be, going to do Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue. I knew Tristan Tripp was going to be there, and it was like, hey, let's do Rooster, let's do mm-hmm. Alice Chains, because I knew that's a sound that I don't really ever get to do, that I know I'm really capable of doing. But also to sit there with you know, someone who's now a dear friend, but also, you know, country music royalty, you know, and it's like, okay, well, I've listened to this, to the legacy of this family my entire life. And to get into that was really special.
Mm-hmm.
But from the industry side, I guess, to your question, and maybe not so much the industry side, and Zach will attest to this, I've never thought about it this way, because me and Zach each write for ourselves, mm-hmm. which not isn't, you know, uncommon. It's just every song Zach writes, he writes with the intention of him doing it. Every song yeah. I write, it's not, we're not, you know, there's co-writes we'll hop on, and that's a different animal. But as actors, particularly child actors, you know, with however many, you know, credits we got under our belt before we were 18, we were able to, you know, figure out relatively what stories we could tell well and ones that we can't. And that, you know, right now I know I couldn't pull off well. That job's for somebody else. You know, I had mm-hmm. I got to be in a documentary for Billy Bob Thornton's band, and we're sitting there, and he was talking to me, and he said, you know, if you want somebody to play Charles de Gaulle, get a Frenchman. Don't get me. Mm-hmm. Not that I couldn't play it. It's just, get a Frenchman. If you want somebody to play a landman, that's the part I know I can play. There's a piece mm-hmm. of me there that I can hold on to, and this is my version of that. And so that lends itself, and I didn't realize this for a long time, just how well that lent itself to live performance of the songs that we choose to perform, because they're all stories that we know we can pull off. Yeah. Because it's, you know, we've spent most of our lives going, okay, here's a paragraph breakdown of a character. This is all we have to go on. Now we're going to create a life around this paragraph within this storyline. Okay, cool. What you mean? We got 3 minutes worth of material that we can sing, and then we can emote in our own way. Easy, easy money. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really thankful that, you know, I had the time, and I'm sure Zach is too, growing up, to figure out some of that, you know, so that we don't get to this point, you know, where it's very naked and it's us on a stage live, and, you know, embark on a, you know, something that we're not convincing with. Cause that's my biggest pet peeve is I hate it when I'm sitting there watching somebody play a song and I don't believe that they believe what they're singing.
Mm.
You know, it's like, if you stuck anything Brian Martin says, I believe, if you know, Brian used to open for Morgan because of the hellish life that that man has lived. He can sing sad stuff and I will believe every word he says
mm-hmm.
because he's authentic. No different than Zach with breakup songs. I will believe every word he says because it's authentic. Same mm-hmm. reason why, even though I love the band's version of Atlantic City, that's why this track isn't a bluegrass one, because it's not one that me or Zach can tell really well over the top of this. Nobody's going to believe that we're actually invested in a freaking bluegrass track, you know, even though yeah. that is my favorite one by far, and if I could yeah. dude, I would tear it all to pieces, but I can't, you know, not you know, in my current state. But the acting side and the storytelling side has grown to really lend itself to the songwriting and live performance side of things, which I never thought about, you know, up until here recently.
Right on. Yeah, and I don't want to keep you guys too much longer, but I'm curious, Zach, with talking about your sound and everything, and Grayson, you could talk about yours too, but I figure we start out with Zach. This is my favorite question to ask artists, and it's, how would you describe your sound? Because you got people like me who aren't, you know, professional musicians in any way, who just love to describe other people's sounds. They'll do that all day long, but I'm always curious to how the artists themselves would describe their style or their sound, whether it be as simple as the genre it's in or just all the little stuff, the little details. How would you describe Zach Gordon's sound?
Sam, I'll tell you something. Zach Gordon is trying to figure out Zach Gordon's sound. And that doesn't mean that I am not close to cracking what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll elaborate. I have a few new songs coming out. arguably you could look at the roster of songs that I have released, and even if we throw in Atlantic City in there, just for the sake of this example, I have one song called Time Bomb, which was, I'd say, pop acoustic, pretty authentic, more in the Shawn Mendes, Ed Sheeran realm. Sitting on a stool, singing with a guitar, minimal production. Mm-hmm. But just a little sprinkle to keep it entertaining and consider it pop. Not like a Zach Bryan style. Mm-hmm. And then I have the song Waste My Time I mentioned earlier, which was definitely influenced by a little Justin Timberlake, Maroon 5. A lot more of the sounds were created vocally and were influenced, I mean, definitely by Timberlake. So you go from like acoustic sad boy to Justin Timberlake. And then this song Bullet Train that I have out now is R&B. It's piano, mm-hmm. it's slow, it's cinematic. And then let's just say, for example, we didn't write Atlantic City, but like Grayson was saying, a little more bluegrass. We got Grayson's soul. We've got a little bit of my lighter pop vocal in there, but I wouldn't call it Christian rock, but you know, it's a rock song, right? Mm-hmm. And so everything's all over the place. What I do notice about my sound is that they could all live on the same project. Yeah. Now, I don't know if that just means that I, when it comes down to how my vocal sounds, and I think specifically on the tracks that I'm releasing, that I'm writing, and I would say maybe co-producing, I have a lot of say. I mean, it's not being released if I'm not happy with it, right? So maybe what I'm trying to pinpoint is, do I want to go sad acoustic guitar? Do I want to go Justin Timberlake pop? Do I want to go a little bit more R&B? The great news is I humbly will say, I feel like I can pull off a lot of them, but mm-hmm. I think it's also because they could exist on the same project. It's still me.
Yeah.
So there's two answers to that question. One is I'm figuring it out. The good news is that I think once I do figure it out, there's a lot of room to really grow and a lot of room to expand and introduce the elements that I want to consciously, rather than showing up in a room with a producer who does R&B or does Justin Timberlake pop and just going, hey, do what you do. And I'm still going to say what I want to say, because like Grayson was saying earlier, that's just my thing. So I think being a little bit more specific about what I want the end product to sound like, rather than just relying on who I'm working with to put in their special sauce, which again is a great thing about collaborating on music. But in terms of my sound, I'm trying to pinpoint that at, not for what I want things to sound like, but for how I truly want to sound. And I think what Grayson was saying earlier, we write our own stuff for ourselves. So, and the last thing I'm going to say is, I want to write songs that I can perform comfortably and with ease. And that's what I'm learning. And that is now becoming more of a focus point when I'm going into the studio. Because if I'm playing a song on piano and it's R&B and there's all these pop elements, I'd rather have less of a track going. And I'd rather have a guitar, keep it intimate, keep it bare bones, let the crowd sing with me. And that seems to be more intimate, more enjoyable. And that's what I'm drawn to. So maybe that gives you a little bit of an answer.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing about the landscape we're in now musically, no matter what genre, you don't need to be, you know, cornered into like a label. Like this is what you sound like and you're not, you know what I mean? And I mean, what you said, I never thought of it that way. It's like on the same project, you know, everything you can have, like it's under your name, like it's you. And I think that's the coolest thing nowadays is like Grayson has, he could make any kind of song. People would be like, that's Grayson Russell. You can do the same thing. And I think that's what's really important nowadays. And I think it's, I'm glad we got there, you know, like it took a while, but I'm glad we're at the point now to where anyone can make anything without getting too many looks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But guys, before we get out of here, I feel like it's only February. So I still have an excuse to ask this is goals for 2025. Whether off the top of your head, if there's anything in particular you want to accomplish musically, acting too, anything really, just what you guys want to accomplish this year. Go ahead. Grayson, you could start off.
Yeah, I want to play the Opry by the end of the year. Like I told you earlier, my first memory on this planet was at the Opry. I was 2 years old, and it was there. I was probably 2 and a half, and it was their 75th anniversary. And so this November will be their 100th anniversary. And so I would love to do that by November here. On the film side of things, you know, I'm blessed to be hopping into, you know, season two of a television show. So I want to, you know, get everything locked in for season three and or some other projects going on in 2026. Mm-hmm. And get this tour lined up and knocked out. Those are all kind of, it's weird. You know, I've gotten to where like all my short-term goals are defined to like 8 months or 12 months. And then, you know, yep. The long term is like, you know, somewhere between a year and 15 years. You know, like I want to play Wembley by the time I'm 40, and then I'll have kids, and then I'll be doing something else. Mm-hmm. Short term Opry, that's a big focus, you know, and getting in that pipeline and you know, figuring out the metrics because it's all really metrics and just going into it knowing, okay, like these are the numbers that I got to have. You know, kind of to validify what I'm doing or validate what I'm doing. That's the goal. That's the goal right now.
What about you, Zach?
One thing I've started the year off doing is really trying to hone in on where I want to be in 5 years, mm-hmm. meaning like perfect world. And then working my way back, I have a tendency to focus on the big goal and forget all the steps that are necessary to at least entertain in order to get there.
Yep.
So if I wanted to be Robin in the Batman movies, I'm just saying arbitrarily, I'd love to play Robin, but am I going to wake up tomorrow and automatically, there's a lot of things that are one outside of my control and two things that could be done. So for example, for the sake of that right there, to keep it easy, Robin would probably know how to do martial arts, right? Who are the people that decide who is going to be that role in this movie? Do agencies package the movie, right? So like, let's just say Christopher Nolan's coming back to do another Batman movie. That would be cool. Well, who is he represented by? I guarantee you that no one's auditioning for those roles. And if they are, it's people that are at the top of the game who maybe are having a meeting with him, like a lunch or a dinner, right? So they're not going to have an open call audition for that role. So I'm using that example to say, how would I work my way back? So again, that's brushing past that, but probably you have to start with credits, right? So how many times do I want to work this year? What type of projects, you know, like what type of people are typically involved in those movies? Are they people that star in action movies previously? Are there people that are on TV shows? Are they people that are social media stars? Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying that I have really decided what those 5-year goals are. Music, acting, being on the behind the camera, you know, directing, touring, even where I want to live from investment goals, you know, investing in stocks, you know, things like that. Things like, well, we all want $1 million in the stock market, but you don't just wake up and have $1 million in the stock market. So like, well, what's my main source?
Close though.
Huh?
Your NFTs got close though.
Let's not talk about those days, man. But what I will say is figuring out the smallest step possible. If that even means like, okay, I want to gain 1 million followers on all my socials in the next 5 years. Well, how many would I need to gain a day? Mm. You know, that's what I'm saying. And so it's like, well, let's say I want to be Robin and Batman. You know what? I'm taking martial arts lessons now, right? Mm. And maybe I'll end up as another anime character, or not that Robin's anime, but I'm just saying that like I'm trying to just set these foundational goals. If I want to play live more and Grayson wants to play the Opry, clearly Grayson's been honing his guitar skills. He has the band. He's releasing his songs to set him up for that moment. Well, if I want to play, you know, Madison Square Garden in 5 years, probably need a couple of albums out, you know, mm-hmm. probably need to have X amount of shows under my belt, probably need to have made X amount of merch pieces just to know what that world is like. So if we're starting straight from the beginning, it's like, well, let's start with releasing a couple more songs this year. Let's start with trying to make a t-shirt. Okay. Let's start with learning some martial arts. Am I honing on my acting skills? How often am I practicing singing? Every day. You know, how does someone who's in those movies look? I just finished a 7-mile run before I hopped on this meeting, and also did a voiceover job that like would pave the way for other opportunities in that realm. So I think I get stunted by thinking about the big picture so much. Mm-hmm. And to answer your question, the only thing I'm focused on now is the system and not where I want to get to, and trusting that as I continue to figure out what those foundational habits are, I could look back and say, okay, we got X amount of songs. What can I do with this? You know, how can I invest this? Did we lose money here? Did we make money here? Can I show up for the audition and do a backflip and kick someone's ass in karate? I don't know. Well, I got to start by taking karate X amount of days. Can I do all these stunts? Well, I'm in good physical shape. Let's keep that up. Let's build upon it. Let's expand. So that's my process. Not because there's a way to do it, but just because I know that I don't want to say I got so scared by where I think I want to be now that I forgot that all these little steps are what's going to get you there. And Grayson is a prime example of, he's not just going to show up and play the Opry. I mean, this man's done how many shows now? Toured with his band, you know, made the posters, sold the posters. I only say that because you got to supplement your income somehow, pay the guys, feed yourself. Mm. So, you know, these are all things that I'm focusing on crossing off and then ultimately trusting that it'll get me to those bigger goals.
Yeah.
And I think I'm figuring that out.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, guys, it sounds like you have quite the year ahead of you, and I'm excited to see what's to come for each of you. Honestly, it's really exciting, and it's cool to see that you guys still have like that ambition. You know what I mean? Like, I know I always hear the horror stories from artists, just like they get burnt out and like you're kind of, they don't know what to do next, but it sounds like you guys have that plan, have that path in front of you that nothing's going to stop you. So that's really cool to hear. And I guess close things out, if you want to tell everyone what you guys have coming up, we kind of hit on that a bit earlier, whether it's, you know, songs, anything like that, show dates, anything like that, social media, the floor is yours. You could go ahead, Grayson.
The big thing is with Atlantic City, we decided to donate the proceeds from that to wildfire victims. So whatever we make off the streams, if y'all would stream it, that's the easiest way to, you know, get money over there, because me and Zach wouldn't have we wouldn't have our relationship. We wouldn't have the background that we have without LA. So, you know, we want to try to give back as much as we can, because we wouldn't have what we got, you know, without them. So that's a big piece. So stream the song, and that's the easiest way to, you know, do some actual good, which we were really, really, really wanting to do. I got a song coming out on the 14th. It's called Go Cry Somewhere Else. So for anybody who's ever cheated on you and then cried about it, go cry somewhere else. Pretty cut and dry. And I got a TV show called Blue Ridge. I think that'll be on Amazon here shortly. And then me and Zach's got some other stuff coming up that'll
hell
be
really
fun. Socials are just Grayson, GraysonC Russell, 2 S's and 2 L's. And Sam, thank you for having us. I really appreciate
Anytime.
It.
Anytime. Love it. Anytime. What about you, Zach?
All socials, Zachary Gordon on Instagram, on Twitter, YouTube, Zach Gordon Music. Speaking of goals, I really want to be consistent with building more of a community, more of a following, because I only realized it when I started playing shows, you know, when I started going out, meeting people instead of just being on my phone scrolling and not just looking at a number and being desensitized to it. These are real people, that have grown up with Grayson and I, people that support you too, Sam, you know, they listen, they like, they support, they follow, and creating more opportunities for all of us to connect, to communicate and share some of that music that I'm working on. Speaking of which, to answer your question, hopefully I'm figuring out some contracts to release some of these songs, you know, make sure everything's in alignment before I release them. But over the next couple of months, I'm going to be releasing a bunch, and I want a whole EP out this year and then some, and start touring more, playing live shows, even just popping into open mics. I want to get the reps in. I want to get better. I want to be able to command a stage in the way that Grayson does.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, oh, and also TikTok, Zach Gordon Official, it hasn't been banned yet. So, but yeah, I'm really excited to continue to build the community online, my presence, and hopefully people will listen to the streams, listen to the songs, and then go stream Atlantic City. You know, like Grayson was saying, all those proceeds are going to go to the fires, people affected by the fires. And really crazy what's been happening down here, just being here and seeing how many people that were affected. I mean, I know dozens, but even the writer of Wimpy Kid, of the films, Gabe Sachs, he lost his house, everything. Man. And so it's just one of those things where it's real, it happened, and it's cool that we have the opportunity to do what we love and find ways to hopefully give back. And so, again, streaming the song, hopefully you enjoy it, and knowing that the time that you're spending listening to the song will then hopefully pay it back to the people that gave us the platform that we have just in general. Yeah. So yeah, appreciate y'all and stay in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is fantastic what you guys are doing with the streams and everything. And everyone, for sure, go stream Atlantic City. It's fantastic. I was blown away when I heard it, like, for sure. So go take a listen to that. Check out Zach Gordon and Grayson Russell on the socials. Give them a follow. Listen to their tunes. And also check out Rage Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Google us. We'll pop up. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll talk to you guys next time. My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home?